What's up, guys? Welcome to the second edition of Three and Out, the NFL podcast. I am John, joined by Moneymaker Chris. Say what's up, Chris.
What's going on, guys? Glad to be back.
And on today's show, we have a special guest, my cousin, Zach. Zach, say hello to people, introduce yourself.
How's it going?
Tell us a little bit about you.
I'm born and raised a Redskins fan, but I will not be biased about them.
It's okay to be biased about it, man. We got all those fans before the season starts. Man, the Redskins going to do something. They're going to do something. It's like, okay, then they do something one game and like, oh, we're going to the Super Bowl. I don't know. I mean, it's good to have you on, Zach. It'll be a good show. A lot of crazy stuff happened in these past 2 weeks of football.
Yes, it has. Most definitely.
A lot of crazy stuff. And, I mean, one of the things I want to talk about is one of the most recent news is Jalen Ramsey requesting a trade. Now, I don't know if I was a team out there, the young man is good, but I don't know if I would want to deal with the headache and give up 2 first-round picks for him.
Agreed, man. Agreed. I mean, he's a very talented corner, no doubt about it. He'd be an upgrade on a lot of teams, but just his whole attitude and everything is just bad, man. I mean, just going back to that interview he did last year with that magazine, he was ripping all the quarterbacks and everything. I lost respect for him because of that. I mean, he was ripping all these different quarterbacks when it was his quarterback, Blake Bortles, who's the one who was really some trash, man. So I don't know, man. I mean, he could help a lot of teams, but I'd be hesitant to like give up, especially draft picks, to get him right now.
Yeah, I agree as well. He reminds me a lot of Deion with the fact that he talks a lot, but he is very, very good. I know there are going to some teams out there that are going to definitely give him those 2 first-round picks for him. For sure.
You think there's a team out there that's going to give up 2 first-rounders in the upcoming draft for Jalen Ramsey?
100%. There will be someone out there who pays that price.
That's true. Everybody's got a price, so you never know.
I mean,
it might not even cost 2 first-rounders. If you give up a player in a first-rounder, it's all about the value of a first-round pick. So
that may cost a hefty player, though.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, and speaking into trading news and things like that, Pittsburgh giving up a first-round pick to Miami. Miami's scooping up all the picks. They got 3 first-rounders, I believe. They gave Minkah Fitzpatrick to the Steelers. So me and my cousin have had this thing, and my cousin started it, that the Dolphins were tanking for Tua. I can pretty much say now that is a guaranteed statement.
It is, man, because they're looking awful right now. I mean, they've gotten embarrassed the last 2 weeks, so they're definitely in tank mode right now.
Yeah, what have they gotten outscored, 100-something to 10?
102.
102 to 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable.
I don't think there's any kind of magic in that team that's going to save them.
No, it's not.
My thing is, though, if you're going to trade, if you're going to tank for Tua, why trade one of the best young left tackles in the game when you're going to need somebody to protect him?
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
But look, they have 3 first-round picks. They could get another young player.
Very true.
They could. So, I mean, they may be looking for their future. I just don't think, like you were saying, I don't think trading off a talent like Fitzpatrick, especially to Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh's going to need all the help that they can get with, you know, Ben Roethlisberger down. And, you know, the thing with that is what impressed me was Mason Rudolph looked impressive.
Yeah.
He did.
He definitely did. Looked very impressive.
And, that covers a lot of, you know, a lot of these quarterbacks today are dropping like flies. I mean, you know what? The Jets have lost 2 quarterbacks. Ben Roethlisberger's out. Drew Brees is out.
Nick Foles. You know,
Nick Foles is out, and I mean, broken collarbone
with him. Yeah, it's crazy, man. The quarterbacks have been dropping like flies like the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I know you got to look at it like this: if with all these defensive linemen like Aaron Donald, Myles Garrett, all these guys who can rush the pass like that, you need to get your best offensive linemen in the door and make sure they're paid, make sure they're happy, because they need to be up there blocking for that quarterback.
And I mean, blocking doesn't necessarily prevent injury, too. Some of these, like Aaron Donald, that's a beast of a dude, man. Regardless, your offensive line, you're going to get hurt. You're going to hurt.
I heard somebody call him and Drew Brees high five, and that's what caused the injury. Is a high five.
What do you guys see in the future of the Jets now losing? Basically, Darnold was out. Trevor Siemian came in. Siemian got taken out. How did Luke Falk look for you guys? If you guys watched that game.
I watched. I mean, he looked okay. And, I mean, maybe with a week of practice, I mean, he might, you know, get more comfortable with the system. I don't know how long he's been there with the Jets, but it's rough for the Jets right now. I mean, you lose your starter and you lose your backup quarterback, and now you got to go to this Luke guy. I mean, I think he'll do okay, but, I mean, he's neither one of them. He's not Sam Donaldson, I'll tell you that much.
See, I'm impressed with the young Washington State quarterbacks. That's Luke Falk and Gardner Minshew. Both of them have looked very good coming out of Washington State, and they both look good here. Like you said, he probably needs a full week of practice. He probably wasn't even expecting to play at all.
Right.
So you got to get him a full week, but I think he'll be okay.
And, I mean, that's one of the, you know, a school, you know, Washington State, you look at two players coming out of and they're actually doing well when, you know, we call, what is it, Alabama is basically the NFL minor leagues, like, you know, anyone that comes out of Alabama is going to basically pretty much succeed.
Definitely. Most definitely.
I think if you got the talent, you can succeed at any college. I mean, look at Danny Woodhead, came into the NFL, was a very good player for a long time, and he came out of a Division II school.
Yeah, it's very true. It was very true. I mean, talent's anywhere, you know, with that. Speaking of young talent, Lamar Jackson. I will take back everything I ever said about that dude. I am a Ravens fan. Lamar Jackson seems to be having fun throwing the football.
He really has. I mean, he's really, I don't know what he did in the offseason, but whatever he's done, it's definitely working. I mean, he's proven that he's, you know, more than just a running quarterback. I mean, the last 2 weeks, he can show he can definitely throw the football. So that makes him even more dangerous as a quarterback. I've been very impressed with him over the first two games.
I'm gonna be Mr. Pessimist over here. He did play two very horrible defenses. Let's not jump the gun yet. He's played two very bad defenses. I could probably throw for 200 yards on the Giants. Not a very hard thing to do when they suck that bad.
And I mean, with that coming up, you know, you got what, Baltimore at Kansas City. I think that's
what I'm looking
for. I think that's gonna be a good game.
That's tough for him. That's gonna be where I'm gonna be like, okay, he can throw. He's gotten a lot better throwing, because Kansas City's defense, that's a defense to look out for. You got the Honey Badger back there at safety. This is gonna be a tough one for him, for sure.
I mean, and you know, and like you said, they're not great defensive teams that he's played so far. And I watched the game with New England and Miami, and I think Tom Brady's lost, because I think with the way Baltimore played Miami, I think the Patriots should have at least put up 100 on them. But, and you know, Bill Belichick likes to ram it down. He likes to destroy people.
Oh, without question. That's his whole, you know, that's his whole
so
game.
So I don't know if it was somebody came prepared, or if they said, you know what, Tom, let's you know, go easy on these guys or whatever. But I'm surprised the score was what it was when that game happened. I definitely think Miami's tanking now, though, is a big thing out there.
Now, you mentioned young players. I do want to just give a spotlight to two of my guys who are not really getting any love on the in the community, and that's Terry McLaurin and Jimmy Moreland. who are playing phenomenally well for the Redskins right now.
Agreed. They've been our two bright spots so far this season. They have played very well.
Yes, a third round pick and a seventh round pick are our bright spots.
I know, right? Who would have
thought? Those are two young men for the Redskins.
Yeah, Jimmy Moreland is a seventh round corner out of James Madison University, who's ridiculously, he's playing very well right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then Terry McLaurin's the receiver out of Ohio State in the third round.
Let's discuss your Redskins there. How do you see them doing with basically two games under the belt? How do you see them?
Not good. We have a offensive coach in Jay Gruden who seems to just let everybody get away with everything. He's that type of coach who's just like, I don't really care. And we need to get rid of him. And Greg Minuski can't make mid-game adjustments, so the talent on our defense doesn't matter if he can't adjust to the game and make that defense work. We need to get rid of both of them, find some replacements, and then once our coaching gets going, I think our team will at least be okay. And then we need to get a few more pieces in there. But
well, here's the real question. This question's for both of you guys. Do you think it's the coaching that's the problem, or do you think it's the ownership that's the problem?
Well, the ownership's always been the problem.
Ownership's always been the problem, but I mean, we got to, you know, that's not going to change. I mean, Snyder's going to keep the team for the most part. But it's the coaching. I mean, Jay Gruden, he's been there like the last, what, 5-6 years? And they've been, you know, they haven't they haven't been good on him at all. And I mean,
Chris, do you agree with me, though, that Gruden's just the kind of guy that's like, I don't really care?
Oh, yeah. That's his whole, you know, attitude. He's very nonchalant about his approach to everything. And like I said, he's not doing his game adjustments either.
Yeah, we've been the most penalized team, and he doesn't care. He doesn't discipline the guys who get the penalties. This is just a bad team all around right now.
It is. He's way too laid back. We need a coach that's going to get on these guys. Like, hey, you know, you can't be making stupid penalties that's going to be costing you games. I mean, just basic stuff like that. You can't be doing
that. Now, the one bright spot about the Redskins that I've seen is the passing game, and Jay Gruden has nothing to do with it. Kevin O'Connell runs our passing game.
He does. He does. Case Keenum has played well. We haven't been losing games because of Case Keenum. He's played well the last 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, and Kevin O'Connell is the coach that at least I want to see at least what he can do as a head coach, because he's running the passing game, and the passing game is fantastic right now.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Kevin O'Connell running your team?
Yeah, because he seems like that guy who's going to get in everybody's face, get in their grill. He's kind of like that McVay type coach, because we had McVay as well and let him go.
And let him go to the Rams. Look what he's done for the Rams.
Don't even get me started on
that. I know. Oh, man, that pisses me off so bad every time I talk about it, man. But we got to change the coach, man. I mean, Gruden's got to go. We need a different voice in the locker room.
I think by midseason, he's gone. I think we have an interim head coach by midseason.
Yeah, that would not shock me at all at this point of the season. It would not shock me one bit.
And we need to get...
Do you think that happens depending on your record?
Yeah, I think we're going to be 0-8.
Yeah, I think you're going to go 0-8.
I don't know if we're going to go 0-8.
This team is so bad.
I mean, actually, we got the Bears Monday night, then we got the Giants after that, then we got the Patriots. So I know that's a loss right there.
But you got to think, though, with what DeMarcus Lawrence did to Morgan Moses, now he's got to deal with Khalil Mack. That's a
nightmare right there. That's a big time problem.
That's a problem, because Case Keenum's going to get hurt if we leave Morgan Moses in there.
Wait, wasn't he one of y'all's like bright stars? A little while ago.
Actually, people think that he's actually the most penalized offensive lineman in the NFL the past two seasons.
He has been.
He's been the most penalized offensive lineman.
Well, Morgan Moses.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for some reason, Redskins fans love him.
I mean, the talent is there, but like I said, the penalties is just what kills him.
And I've told my dad this. The left side with Donald Penn at left tackle has looked really good. He hasn't given up a sack yet. Donald Penn looks really good. If we can find a way to bring Trent in the building, you move Donald Penn to starting right tackle and solidify those bookends right there.
Mm-hmm. And that would make a huge difference on the offensive line.
But Trent's not coming back.
I don't think so. I think he is.
So this is an interesting category that me and Zach have talked about for a little bit, and we discuss it sometimes on PlayStation chat with our buddies. How do you guys feel about sports biases when it comes to like color commentary or things like that. Like one of the things that I notice is when you watch a Redskins game, especially on Fox, you hear Theismann, and no matter what happens on the other team's side of the ball, it's, oh my God, the Redskins this, the Redskins that. Oh, when I played this, and it's like no one call the game. We get you were a Redskin. We get the Redskins are playing, but call the game. You know, and then one of the names my cousin does not like mentioned around him is Skip Bayless.
Let's get started here on Skip Bayless, okay?
But how do you guys feel about bias? I mean, I guess there is okay to be biased at certain times, but do you guys think that TV color commentators should be biased?
I think this,
especially during a game,
it's got to be a balance. I mean, I understand if you play for a certain team, you know, or work for a certain organization, you have that bias in there. I can understand it to an extent, but like you said, you got to call the game. You got to put that stuff aside. I mean, just focus on the game. I mean, it affects your commentary and everything. I mean, I understand it to an extent, but you just got to, you know, put that behind you, at least for that moment. I mean, because it's going to affect your work. It's not a good thing. And as far as Skip Bayless is concerned,
uh-oh.
You know what? I don't always agree with everything he says. I mean, but I do like Skip Bayless. I like Skip Bayless.
He's not always right.
And he's extremely biased to his Cowboys, his Spurs, all his teams. But he sticks to his guns, whether you love it or not. He sticks to his guns, and I respect
that.
I don't always agree with him 100%, but I respect the guy.
I lost my respect for him when he said that Patrick Mahomes was not special and Dak Prescott is.
Yes,
when he
does stuff like that, that's just crazy talk. That's just insane.
But I mean, that's him being, you know, and like I said, that's more of him having an opinion. You know, it's a 420 opinion, but it's an opinion, and you know, and I've never really followed Skip's show, but I hear the disdain and despise when my cousin talks about him or when he's even mentioned. But I do know that his fan base is extreme when it comes to the Cowboys and things like that. But I one thing, yeah, and I may not have heard his games enough, but one of the guys I like commentary, and people are gonna probably get on me for this, but I love Tony Romo.
You know what?
I actually agree with you as well.
I do. Tony, I mean, he's been a pleasant surprise. He's done a lot better than I ever thought he would have. I would have never thought he would have been a good commentator, but he's been a pleasant surprise in the booth on CBS.
And one thing that surprised, I don't think I've ever heard him be biased.
No, he's not.
And
no,
I think he's called some Dallas games.
He has, and he's kept an even keel.
Now, he's Nostradamus when it comes to looking at a play on the field and go, oh, they're going to do this. Yeah, okay. Sure, Tony. Get up there in the offensive coordinator booth and do this for someone other team. But I've enjoyed him on commentary.
John will know this about me. There's one thing that annoys me more than bias color commentary, and that's just when you go off on personal stories, and that is Mr. Charles Davis and Mr. Chris Collinsworth. I don't even want to watch the game when they're announcing. Like, good. Oh, my Lord.
I saw Charles Davis the other day on call on one game, and all I could think about was Madden. And I'm just like, oh, dear God, I'm going to have to listen to him talk about one.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. Please, no. Collinsworth, I don't mind Collinsworth sometimes, but it's just like, sometimes you just want to go, shut up.
Yeah, he's like 50-50. He can be like hit or miss. Sometimes you like you can deal with him, but other times, like you said, just shut up, dude. Like, really, we don't want to hear that.
Yeah, Charles Davis has gone number one over Collinsworth for me because Charles Davis just needs to stop talking.
Yeah, but then we all grew up in this era too. When they used to give John Madden that damn 10 to color on the replays.
I remember that.
And I'm like, this whole screen's going to be yellow by the time he's done, because then they took the pen away from him and they started using his finger.
Madden also said some of the funniest stuff in the world.
He did. He was oh great.
Awesome. I like John Madden, but if we're going color commentary, I love Chris Berman.
Berman's awesome.
Oh yeah, I love him too.
I love Chris Berman. I love the dude in college who puts the stuff on his head, the mascot head.
Yeah, one of my favorite Madden quotes when he was commentating a game. The offense was coming out to do a play, and he was like, "Well, they can run, pass, or run the quarterback." Yeah, Madden, thanks.
Yeah, really? Is that what they can? And you know, and I think that's what makes it a lot. Because I know, for me and my mother hated him, and I think a lot of people have this. But I believe Joe Buck has called a few football games. I think. I'm not sure.
Yes, he has. Joe Buck has called games.
Yes.
But
I usually calls them with Aikman.
Yeah, he does. That's true.
And Joe Buck. To me, Joe Buck is up there with Charles Davis. I do not like Joe Buck.
He's another guy with me. He's like 50-50. He can be like hit or miss. He's okay, but he's not great neither. He has his moments.
I don't mind Tony. I like Tony. I used to love the guy that was with John Madden. What was his name?
Oh, Pat Summerall.
Yeah, that I like Pat.
He was really good. He's one of my favorites too.
Because he would bring John right back. He'd bring him back. Always. John would go off story and he'd be like, "All right, John. Well, here's what's going. You know, let's call the game."
They really worked well together over the years when they were doing.
They did. Oh, let's see. What else we got here to talk about? Oh, Antonio Brown.
Let's get into
what's going on with him.
Oh, my God. Is he becoming one of the worst human beings on planet Earth?
You ain't lying there, man.
And now the thing with the woman coming forward, the female trainer, and then... Now another woman's come forward. So once the floodgates open,
who painted his house or something? Was it the one? There's a woman who was painting his house or something, and she said he was behind her naked.
Yeah, it's like once one female has the strength and the power to come forward, all of them are like, well, yeah, now let me come forward too because he did this to me as well.
Mm-hmm, the floodgates just open.
Yep, and I want them to take him down. I mean, John knows how I feel about this personal situation when it comes to things like that. I feel very strongly on it. He needs to be out of the NFL at this point, if it's true.
Yeah, because we still don't know all the facts and everything, but yeah, if all that stuff is true that they're saying, he needs to be gone.
There is text messages that I've seen from the trainer to him, and they're very bad. Very, very incriminating. If you haven't seen them, go look it up. I'm not going to repeat it over the air. It's really bad.
I'll probably look those up. Probably not something we should repeat. But
I saw a couple of them. Yeah, and they were pretty bad.
That's the interesting thing with that is that's going to be a sport now where a lot of women are breaking through into breaking that barrier. You know, you have the one. I think what is it I don't know if she's a coach or something, but she's an on-field presence. Yeah, I want to say Arizona.
I thought it was Tampa. I know it's a Red
Bay. Yeah, Tampa.
Tampa Bay, yeah. I think it's Tampa, yeah.
Yeah. And she's like a trainer, a coach, or something like that. And it's... I think if this is what's going on and they keep Antonio Brown in the NFL, I think that could ruin a lot of the big steps for women in the sport because... Women aren't going to want to be in this.
Basically, if you do read the text messages, one of the things he said basically was, "I'm an all pro. There's nothing you can do about it." Essentially, is the I'm kind of just making it friendly, but that's basically what he was alluding to. Is I'm an all pro. There's nothing you can do about it.
Basically, it's your word against the Antonio. Yeah. Which yeah, he's becoming, you know, the worst human being possible in the world. Trying to think of what else we discussed. We discussed Ben Roethlisberger. How do you think the Big Ben injury is going to affect the Pittsburgh season?
I think they're done. I mean, I think Rudolph will do okay, but I don't know if it's going to be enough for them to get to the playoffs or anything. Because you got the Ravens playing pretty well. I still think Cleveland's going to be, you know, a potential playoff team as well. I think it's going to be over for them.
I think they'll finish middle of the pack. They might finish with an 8-8 record, but yeah, like, they're not getting into the playoffs. But they still got a good enough defense and good enough pieces around Rudolph that I think they'll at least get 8.
They'll get 8?
Yeah, at least.
And Big Ben is saying that he wants to return back after this injury and come back next season. Now, what I've read, it is a, and what Zach reiterated earlier, it is a Tommy John injury.
That's what I heard too.
And, yeah. Us who follow baseball know you don't come back the same after that.
You don't.
Yeah, you're never the same. You can never throw it the same again. So I don't know how.
Big Ben had, you know, he could throw the ball, you know, he'd zoom it in there, he could throw it deep, you know, things like that. And I think, and it was alluded to on TV, I think a lot of these older guys need to kind of pass the torch. You know, Tom Brady, yeah, okay, man, you're good, but pass the torch on to the young guys. You know, Ben, step aside. Drew Brees, I mean, he needs thumb surgery. They don't know how long he's going
to
be out.
6 to 8 is what they said at the minimum.
Are they calling 6 to 8?
Yeah.
6 to 8.
Because I saw him. He couldn't even grip the ball during the game. I saw that, man. I was like, okay, he's done.
I saw the Big Ben thing, too. Big Ben just threw the ball, and then he just was holding his elbow.
And was gripping his arm.
Yeah, it was a non-contact. It was a non-contact injury.
Yep. He was like, I can't throw it anymore, so...
Another team we can probably sit there saying is tanking, or maybe it's them trying to save what dynasty was when their older quarterback could play. The Giants have benched Eli Manning and now have their rookie as the...
Yeah, and you got to think, it's probably the worst first-round pick in the last decade. Because with Haskins still on the board, how do you pass on Dwayne Haskins, who did much better than Daniel Jones, is a much better thrower of the football, in a much better conference, and you chose Daniel Jones?
That's unbelievable. And let Haskins go to a division rival, too. I mean, that's just unbelievable. I could not believe they made that pick.
Now, do you think this is a tanking move, or do you think that this is them going... Okay, let's kind of save the dynasty that Eli created with his team, and or not even dynasty, but fan base that he built, and, you know, save it. Or do you think they're just like, okay, let's give the kid some playing time. Maybe we can trade him off in the offseason and get a pick.
Well, I think they know that they're in a rebuilding mode at this point, and why play Eli when you can have somebody you can start getting some game experience in a rookie. And you know you're not going to win many games with him at this point, but you're in a rebuilding mode. You want to get him some game time. You want to get him some work so that next year he's ready to go. I don't think they're necessarily tanking, but they know they're not going to win a lot of games. They're rebuilding the team. So go with the rookie. Let him get some game time.
Yeah, that's how I feel as well. I don't think they're tanking at all either. I mean, I just feel they're just giving him some, you know, a chance to play. I mean, I thought they might would do it later in the season. I didn't think they would do it quite this soon, you know, going into week 3, but I think they're just saying, hey, you know, let's give this kid a shot. Let's see what he's got. Let's see what he can do. He played well in the preseason, so now let's see what he can do in the games that actually count now. I mean, like I said, let's see what we got with this kid. So let's see what he can do.
Yeah. And the argument is, oh, is this mean he's going to be better than Haskins? And since Haskins isn't playing, it's like, but Keenum's playing well. The problem is Eli's not playing well.
Exactly. That's the big difference.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the big issue. Difference. Keenum's not playing bad at the moment. Keenum's playing very, very good football at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I think Haskins has a little bit of a better quarterback to learn from than Jones does. Don't get me wrong. Eli was a great player years ago, but
Eli's
now
special.
He's just now he's just mean. Now he's just mean.
Eli's special.
Eli's special. Okay, so let's talk about some. We saw some big blowouts these past 2 weeks. Some big scores, things like that. What teams to you guys surprised you kind of and looked good in your opinion? That you didn't think, hey, you know what? I don't think they would have looked this good, but kind of came out like, hey, notice us.
I would have to say the Buffalo Bills. They
Buffalo?
They have a defense that's playing very good and an offense that's able to put up the points that they need to where their defense can hold. They're playing some good football at the moment. It's hard to argue with the Buffalo Bills at the moment. So that's my like team that I'm like, okay, I'm taking notice of you, Buffalo.
See what about you, Chris?
Yeah, I agree with him on the Buffalo. They've definitely been a pleasant surprise, but I got to go with your guys. I know they didn't play like great teams, but the Ravens, I mean, I would have never thought, like I said, Lamar Jackson would have been, you know, able to throw the ball as well as he's been able to throw the ball the last couple of weeks. And also,
and it's not even like him just throwing it. He's throwing dots.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, he's throwing it right perfect. On the money.
Yeah.
Now, I'm also going to add on to not a team that's surprising me, but a certain side of the ball that surprised me, and that would be the Packers defense.
Yes.
Because the Packers defense has never been good.
No.
And now they're playing.
No, let's admit, Aaron Rodgers has kept them in the games most of the time.
Yes.
And Aaron's on the sideline like, oh my gosh, my defense is holding them. This is a miracle.
I actually have a defense that I can depend on. And like I said, hallelujah.
And honestly, it's led by that rookie, Savage. That kid is awesome. That safety from Maryland is very good.
Now, Green Bay plays Denver this week. I have a list of the teams that are playing. We can discuss how you think they'll do and things like that. How do you think Green Bay will... That defense will fare against, let's admit, the not the greatest of quarterbacks in Denver. And I can say that because I've watched him in Baltimore. But Denver's defense is not a slouch defense.
They're not. They're not. They're a very good defense.
Yep.
So who do you see with the outcome in that game?
I still see Green Bay winning it because eventually Rodgers will score. It's... No matter how good your defense is, eventually Rodgers is going to put it in the end zone.
Rodgers is going to be Rodgers.
He's going to be Rodgers. I don't bet against that, man. And like I said, unless now that he has a defense now, I mean, that's just going to make, once the offense starts clicking, they're going to be even more scary.
And I don't think Denver's offense is going to be able to keep up.
No.
Because Denver's offense isn't nearly as good as Green Bay's offense is.
They're not. They're really not.
Especially with Flacco, but...
I'm also mad that they made Savage, the rookie safety for Green Bay, they made him change his number. I'm actually upset about that. Because he was wearing 21 for 21
Savage. You're a big number guy. Yeah, but you're a big number guy.
He was wearing 21 so he could be 21 Savage.
Oh, dear
Lord. Oh, my God.
But because he was already wearing 26, they said you have to change it back so the jerseys that people already bought.
Here's the big one that they were talking about. I think it's the first time that Cleveland has played a Sunday night game in a little bit, from what I've heard. Cleveland plays the Los Angeles Rams. What do you guys see in that?
That's going to be a big time test for them, because the Rams are very strong on both sides of the ball. And like I say, the Browns looked better last night, but they were playing the Jets, and they got destroyed against the Titans in week one. So this is going to be a big test for them to see if they can overcome the Rams. I'm taking the Rams, but the Browns are going to make it interesting, though, I think.
The Browns' offense still isn't gelling.
They're not clicking yet.
And that offensive line, I don't care who you are, is not going to be able to stop them. And Aaron Donald's going to be in Baker's face all day long.
Okay, so we got y'all's opinions on that. Monday night, we will be seeing Khalil Mack in the district taking on y'all's boys, the Washington Redskins. How do you think they will fare against Khalil Mack?
They're not going to stop him. That's what you're getting at. They're not going to stop him.
Do you see the Redskins getting blown out, or do you see it being close?
I don't think they're going to get blown out, because Mitchell Trubisky doesn't scare me. He's okay, but he's not nobody that's going to really scare me. If we win, it's going to be a low-scoring game, like a 17-10 or something like that. But like I say...
Yeah, because because you got to think about it, the best thing about Chicago is their run game, but we have a very strong run defense.
That's the thing, yes.
I mean, up until the fourth quarter, we held Zeke to under 100 yards, which is very hard to do.
Mitchell doesn't scare me, but when Mitchell Trubisky is on, he makes some magic happen sometimes.
He can, but it just depends on which Mitchell shows up on Monday night, too.
So does Ryan Fitzpatrick when he's on.
That's true. That's another example.
That's why we call him Fitzmagic.
Fitzmagic. Yeah.
Let's see, what game does it look big that we could cover? Oh, okay. We have Pittsburgh going into San Fran facing the 2-0 San Francisco 49ers.
That's another team that's been a pleasant surprise so far. They've been playing really well, and I think they're actually going to win that game because Pittsburgh, like I say, with no Ben Roethlisberger, and you got Rudolph in there, like I said, I think he'll do okay, but I think the 49ers, and their defense has been a pleasant surprise too. I think it was the first week they had like two defensive touchdowns, so I'm going with the 49ers in this one.
I'm calling Pittsburgh. I'm calling my man Mason Rudolph with 250 yards and two touchdowns to push Pittsburgh past the San Francisco 49ers.
So you think it'll be close?
I think it'll be close, but I think Mason's going to really show people that he can play some football, and he's going to get this win.
And we discussed them earlier. We got another 2-0 team in Buffalo. Buffalo meets Cincy in Buffalo. Buffalo's had a great team. How do you guys see them? Do you see them pulling out a win in this and being 3-0?
Yes.
I don't think they pull out a win. I think they slaughter the Cincinnati Bengals. Because Cincinnati is not playing good football.
They're really not. This should be an easy one for the Bills.
I think they're going to slaughter the Bills. Or they slaughter the Bengals.
We saw an impressive showing by Dak Prescott this weekend. Now, Dak plays the tanking Ace Ventura, Miami Dolphin, whatever you want to call him. What do you see Dak doing against that Miami team? Do you think they've given up, or do you think you're actually going to have a Miami team that's going to show up and kind of play?
They're going to get destroyed too. That's going to be a blowout for them. Dak's going to have a field day throwing against them. Yeah, he's going to have a big game too, I think.
Unfortunately,
he's going to have the game of his life.
The Cowboys have had the easiest first three games I've ever seen anyone have.
Extremely easy games.
My God.
Way too easy. Way too easy.
I mean, they played the Redskins, though. You were saying they had an easy game against the Redskins?
Yes, because I know our coaching.
Ah, okay.
I understand my team. I know my team.
One of the big things about this weekend was the New Orleans Saints game. Sean Payton got a little bit peeved. I believe there was two blown calls by the referees in that game, and you could read his lips going, this again? So apparently they still haven't fixed the referee situation. What do you think needs to change with that?
I think they need to get new refs because I also saw a bunch of missed calls in the Redskins game. And a call that they had to reverse because they realized that it was on camera. Which was, I don't know if Chris watched the game or not, but the holding call that they called on Terry McLaurin and then called it back because Terry McLaurin didn't even touch the guy.
Yeah, I saw that when I was watching. That was an awful call. I'm like, really? He didn't touch the guy.
And then they came back on the headset and was like, oh, I'm sorry, it was holding on the defense. I was like, yes. Please get that call right.
Yeah, that was a no-brainer call right there. How do you mess that one up is beyond me.
Yeah, these refs are missing everything.
They really are. I don't know what it is. I don't know where they're getting trained at. But I can say all across the board, I mean, officiating is just very, you know, very, very shaky across the board.
You need to put him in a training class with Ed Hockley.
Yeah, there you go.
He's one of the best NFL refs of all time.
Mr. Flexing his – if he flexes, he's ripping his shirt, Ed Hockley.
Hey, it don't matter. He's still a fantastic referee.
Yes, he is. Let him flex. I mean, he's good at his job.
Also, I don't know his name, but the the older black referee who over explains every penalty he calls.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
I know who you're talking about too.
Yeah, he's a very good referee as well. I like games with him because I know he's going to call it fair.
So, on this show, we also call the games on Thursday. On Thursday, we have... Who do we have playing? The Titans at Jacksonville. Personally, I see Tennessee kind of taking this one because... Yeah.
Titans are going to win that one. Derrick Henry has a better game,
I feel. I actually think Jacksonville's going to win it.
Really?
You think Jacksonville's going to win it?
Jacksonville should have won the game against Houston, but they went for two. Granted, that was a ballsy call, but they went for two. They should have kicked the field goal, went in overtime. Gardner Minshew's playing great football. I don't see how you end that defense.
Do you think that's why they went for two?
Why? Because Gardner's playing well?
Yes.
Yes, that's why they went for two. Gardner's playing very good football, but I do think that they're going to start to get on a roll. That defense is still great. It's still hard to get on that defense, and Gardner's putting balls in the end zone. So can't really go. I'm not going against the Jacksonville Jaguars yet.
Okay. Who do you guys see as a sleeper team now that we are coming into the third week of the season? Do you guys see any sleeper teams or players to watch out for? Or we know Zach's probably going to mention Minshew as a player to watch out for.
Actually, my player to watch out for is Terry McLaurin. Is a true number one receiver. He doesn't drop many passes, and he's unbelievably fast. And I think he's got a shot at Rookie of the Year if he keeps playing the way he's playing.
All right, we got a call for Rookie of the Year already. Okay,
wow. I mean, I've been very impressed with him. He's been like I said, one of the few bright spots over our team the last couple of weeks. He's very good, very good for, like I said, for a third round pick. He's exceeding expectations so far.
I mean, personally, I think Lamar is going to be a guy to watch now that he knows how to throw the ball. And Zach has heard me talk about this guy and just destroy this man. But I think he's enjoying throwing the football and kind of like going, hey, I can score. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to run and kind of injure myself. And I think he's got a guy who used to kind of play like he did in RG3, going, you know what, okay, this is, and you know, RG3 could throw the ball when he wanted to. It's just he sometimes chose not to. Mm-hmm.
And you got to think, too, Lamar Jackson's got a very, very fast wide receiver now in Marquise Brown, who can keep up with that deep ball.
Hollywood Brown.
That dude is the truth. That's the guy I'm going to keep an eye out for. Hollywood Brown.
That guy can run.
Yeah, Hollywood Brown, can yeah.
fly. Speed.
If you get the ball
speed.
In his hands and he gets a step, good night. Because it's over.
Yep.
Now, see, I would go for him for Rookie of the Year. If he's a rookie. I don't even know if he's a rookie. I think he is.
He is a rookie. Yeah, he's a rookie. Yeah, he came out this year. Yeah, he's a rookie.
Yeah, so I would go with him for Rookie of the Year.
The thing is, John, you don't... Him and McLaurin both have the same speed, though.
What was it I saw the other day? Somebody hit, like, 22 miles an hour. Oh, Larry Fitzgerald, I think it was.
Larry caught Fitzgerald up. Is the greatest wide receiver.
Caught a pass from that line, and they said on his break, he hit 20-something miles an hour speed.
That dude is still balling out after all these years. It's unbelievable what he's still able
Larry,
to do.
Larry Fitzgerald, to me, is the greatest receiver I've ever seen play football. He doesn't drop the ball. He catches everything. Like, Larry Fitzgerald.
See, in my opinion, the greatest one of the greatest tight ends still playing in the past several years is still playing on the Washington Redskins, out there hurling dudes like he's a young man.
Oh, Vernon Davis.
Vernon Davis.
Yeah, Vernon Davis is a beast.
Yeah. For sure,
and it'll be an interesting thing. But I'm gonna toss this out to Chris. Normally, we end the show with because it looks like we get on 50 minutes here. If Chris has the time, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We end the show normally with a question. So if either you got Zach, if you have a question, or Chris, you have a Twitter question that we can discuss real quick for about 5 minutes, and that people can tweet to us their answers to. I think either you guys got a question or something you want to discuss real quick?
Let me see.
I mean, I have a quick one. Who do you guys see right now, and who do you think is making a stance as for the MVP?
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes, yeah. Patrick Mahomes. That dude is unreal. That dude's like a video game player out there.
Did you see them break down what he's on pace for right now?
No.
On pace for 6,000 passing yards and 56 touchdowns.
Yeah, I saw that the other day. Yeah, that's insane.
That would be the greatest season by a quarterback, wouldn't it?
Yes, and it is disturbing.
It is. It's unbelievable that he's on pace for that. We're 2 weeks into the season, that's what he's on pace for. That kid is special. That kid is very, very
special. Yeah, I can definitely see Miami being on pace for giving up that many points, too. So,
Yeah.
The way they're playing. Yeah, I mean, what do you guys – is there anything that I've missed that you guys might want to discuss real quick? And, you know, we got a little bit of time left.
Cam Newton, what do you think about him? I mean, all the stuff that's going on with him, like injury-wise, he's not looked like himself at all so far this season.
I don't think he's going
to. To me, Cam has always been that type that, to me, relies more on his athleticism than he does watching film and studying the game. Is the type of person he reminds me of.
Like, okay, I know I can do this, so I'm going to do it, rather than, okay, this is where you messed up. Here, look at the tablet and see.
Exactly. He's like, don't worry, I'll get it with my legs next time. I got this.
Mm-hmm.
Or I know I can throw it over the head next time. It's like, no, watch, see what you miss.
Yeah.
It seems like the type that doesn't care about film. He knows he's so athletic that he can rely on it.
Mm-hmm. And then they put in that study work that he should be putting in.
And they have a rookie quarterback out of West Virginia who I really loved coming out.
Oh, Greer, yeah. I like him, too.
So if Greer gets in there,
he's missed the last five practices, so.
I think if Greer gets in there, he doesn't give it back. So
he makes Cam earn it back?
No, I don't think Cam gets it back.
Oh.
I think if Greer gets in there, I don't think Cam gets it back.
Okay.
Greer's a very good quarterback.
Yeah, he is. He is a very good quarterback. If he comes in there and balls out, you know, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I don't think Cam's going to get it back if he comes in there and does what he's supposed to do.
Actually, you know, we could I'll leave it with this question. It'll be another kind of like Hall of Famer question.
Mm.
Out of Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, and Tom Brady, who do you see, if they all retired at the same time, who would you see getting in the Hall first?
My bias wants to say Drew Brees because he has helped
me. That's been your boy for years, bro.
But his book helped me through a lot of stuff that I went through, so I will always vote for Drew Brees no matter what. But I can't be biased. It's Tommy T. And it's not even a question.
Yeah,
Tommy gets him first.
Yeah, that's very true. Hard to go against that one, man.
If all three of them retire at the same time, you guys go Tom Brady?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's gonna go in first.
I can't see, and I'm partying with Roethlisberger.
No, I think it goes Tom Brady, Drew Brees, then Ben.
Yeah, they're all gonna get in, but like I said, I think that's gonna be the order too. It's gonna be Brady, Brees, and then Big Ben.
You don't see them all being as part of the same Hall of Fame class?
That wouldn't happen. I don't think they'd all go in
at the same time. No. They separate them out, I think. Two, maybe, but they probably would still start separate them out.
Oh, that's going to be a good... I'm sorry, I'm watching TV, and I just saw a college game that's happening on Saturday. Notre Dame versus Georgia.
Georgia's going to slaughter them. Notre Dame isn't the same team anymore. Georgia's going to absolutely run them over.
They're both, I believe Georgia's 3-0 and Notre Dame's 2-0.
Yeah, I like Jake Fromm, though. And that's my big prediction for next year is me and my best friend Bobby are on the same page here that Jake Fromm is going to be a better NFL quarterback than Tua Tagovailoa.
So you think Miami is tanking for Fromm?
No, they're going to pick Tua, but I think Jake Fromm is going to be a better quarterback, a better NFL quarterback than Tua. Fight me.
Now,
because he is.
How impressed have you guys been with Kyler Murray?
I've seen flashes, but I still need to see a little more. He's not playing well in the first three quarters, and then he really turns it on in the fourth. He's got to get those first three quarters under control.
Yeah, he's got to be more consistent. You definitely see some flashes of potential there, but like I said, there's a lot of room to grow with him, I feel. He's got to play a complete game.
I mean, we all knew that balls would get batted down and stuff like they are because he is shorter.
He's short, yeah.
So that's happening, but you knew it was going to happen, but he could still throw a ball.
Yeah, he's got a hell of an arm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's wrong with the guy's arm?
No.
All right, so that'll be the question for Twitter would be out of those three, if they retire at the same time, who do you guys see in getting in the Hall first? Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, or Drew Brees? Guys, it's been a great show. If you guys want to tweet at me, tweet HoovianDude32 on Twitter. Chris, I know you got some stuff to promote and plug.
Yes, you can follow me guys on Twitter at MoneymakerChris, as well as Instagram, DCSportsFan23. Follow this podcast's new Twitter page. It's at
3. Oh, yeah, right. We got a Twitter.
We got a Twitter account now, yes. At 3andOutPodcast1. That's 3, the number 3, and out podcast 1. So follow us on Twitter. I'll tweet out that question later on tonight for you guys. Like I said, any suggestions or anything about the show, definitely reach out to us. And I'm a writer. Check out my writing on medium.com/@brokenmoneymaker. I have the caption as well as Football and Friends, where I do my football picks. I'll have my week 3 picks out later this week. And I got products and stuff for sale. Storefrontier.com/writer315, as well as teespring.com/store/moneymakerchris. I've been redesigning some of my shirts and stuff, so I got some new stuff up there for you guys to check out. So yeah, check out my products.
And Zach, in any place for that where people listening can reach out to you and tweet at you?
Yes, I do have a Twitter. It's @ZWRUB9, @ZRUB9.
Here's my Twitter. ZRUB9 on Twitter, guys. Well, guys, that was a great show. Thanks to everyone who listens. I'm John Gruber. My co-host Moneymaker Chris and Zach, and we'll see you guys in 2 weeks for show number 3.
Take care, guys. Peace out.
Take care.